Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Psalm 73 is a psalm that is written by Asaph, and it's really a marvelous psalm. He starts out complaining because he sees that, in his mind, the wicked have it better than God's people. And then he considers their end in verse 17, and of course that changes his mind. So he says in our text, verse 22, he says this, "So foolish was I and ignorant, I was as a beast before thee." So he's really ranting on himself. And then he goes on to say in the remainder of the psalm, beginning with verse 23 down to verse 28, "Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." So in this last part of Psalm 73, verses 22 to 28, Asaph says, draw near to God. That's what he says. Draw near to God. There in verse 28, it is good for me to draw near to God. And you know something? That admonition right there is one of the greatest admonitions in the Bible. Draw near to God. That is the solution for a lot of your problem. You see, sin puts a wedge between you and God. When I've dealt with people who have been really beat up by sin and have had to go and get some help, they'll say to me, "Oh yeah, my prayer life stopped. My Bible got dust all over it. I mean, I quit going to church." And sure enough, those are evidences of the wedge between you and God. Bitterness will do it. Lust will do it. Pornography will do it. Lots of things. A bad thought life will do it. Just a lot of things will put a wedge between you and God. So drawing near to God is essential to close the gap. You say, "Well, yeah, but I don't feel like drawing near to God." Well, consider what Asaph said. Draw near to God, first of all, even when you have been foolish. You see what he says in verse 22? "So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with you," or "with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand." So you know what Asaph said? He said, okay, I've been foolish. I've been just like a beast before the Lord. But then he said, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. In other words, in spite of something foolish you have done, go ahead and draw near to God. Because the alternative is that you will wallow in your sorrow over what you've done. "Oh God, I'm so stupid. I'm so sorry. I should have never done that. I know, Lord. It's just as stupid as I am. It seems like every time I turn around, all I do is just keep showing you how stupid I am. I'm such a fool. I don't deserve to be your child. I don't even know why I think that I'm going to go to heaven, because I've just been such a fool. I've just been as a beast before thee." Have you ever done that? Ever talked to God like that? And tomorrow morning you wake up and you're still wallowing in how foolish you were. And a week later you look back on what you did and you're, "Oh Lord, I was so foolish. I was so stupid. I should have never said that." And 2 weeks from now you're still looking at it. Maybe you're not the one that does that. Maybe it's somebody that you know. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not accomplishing anything by continually looking back at that foolishness or when you acted like a beast. It's not going to help you. I know you're ashamed of it. When I've done that, I've been ashamed of it too. But it doesn't get you anywhere except discouraged and beat down. But when you recognize that you've been foolish and yet you can draw near to God, nevertheless, Asaph said, and you can draw near to God, you know what happens? You realize just what Asaph said, I am continually with you. I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. So the point is, in spite of that stupidity, in spite of that dumb thing, in spite of that thing that you can't believe you did it, and God didn't run. He's right there. So don't let your thoughts about that foolishness draw you away from God. Draw near to Him and realize you two are still right there together. So draw near to God even when you've been foolish and think, man, there's just no way. There's a way. He's there. Secondly, draw near to God even when you feel like God is distant from you. Oh, I've probably heard people say that to me whenever they've come to talk to me about a problem, more than I've heard them say anything else. I just feel like God is so distant from me. I feel like there's such a wedge. Well, sin puts a wedge between you and the Lord. Look what he says, and Asaph says in Psalm 73, verses 23 and 24. He said, nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel and afterward receive me to glory. Now listen very carefully. Sin, the way that it works, purposely makes you feel this gap in your relationship with God. It does. In other words, this feeling that you have of shame or whatever, that's not just you. That is the work of sin. Sin purposely makes you feel this gap in your relationship with God so that you will be discouraged. Why? So that in your discouragement, you'll go back to the sin again. There are a lot of sins that men and women commit that they don't seem to have the power to shake. And you do have the power to shake them. That power is resident in you in the form of the Holy Spirit. That power is resident in the words of God and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That cleanseth us from all sin and mortifies the deeds of the flesh. All right, so this whole merry-go-round that you get on, this cycle of guilt and shame, that is part of the work of sin to keep you in bondage to the sin. I know that I shouldn't do this. And then you get thinking about it, but I've done it so many times. And then you get all discouraged because you're all tempted to do it again. And then you go do it again. You go, you see right there, I can't break this cycle that I'm in. That's part of sin's deception. In other words, we're exposing sin to the light of God's Word today. And sin is a deceiver. And one of the ways that it keeps you in bondage is it keeps you discouraged about the idea that you can never quit it, and it keeps you discouraged as if there is some great gap now between you and God. It makes you feel like God is distant from you. And you know what? The strange thing is, you think that by feeling bad about your sin, that you can let it go. You're thinking that somehow or another this feeling bad about it is repentance, when really it's just remorse. You think that by feeling bad about it, it's some sort of confession, and that by saying it over and over again, you can let it go. But the truth is, if you think about it, you are just magnifying the sin because you keep drawing attention to it. You are just magnifying the effects of this sin on your life because you keep going back through those mental gyrations of feeling bad about it, and then when you feel bad about it, feeling the distance that it has put between you and God. So what's the solution? You say, well, what do I need to do? What passage do I need to read? What prayer do I need to pray? What church do I need to go to? To whom do I need to confess? And I say to you, it's not any of those things. It's a matter of drawing near to God. Now, you may very well find when you draw near to God that he's going to show you a perspective on that sin from his side that you haven't seen before, and that's great. He should. In other words, you may abhor it more than you ever have before in your life. You probably will, and that's a good thing, because now you're not looking at it from your perspective in the woe is me. You're looking at it from God's perspective, and suddenly you start looking for the miraculous work of his word that cleanses you, and the blood of Christ that purges your conscience, and the work of the Spirit of God that causes you, working in you, to mortify that deed of the flesh. So instead of looking at the sin and magnifying it, fill your mind with thoughts of God. That's right. Remember what Asaph said, I am continually with thee. Remember that. You are continually with the Lord. Remember, Asaph said, thou hast holden me by my right hand. I like the picture, but truly in the New Testament, it's even better than that. He is in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, and he will never leave you. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, that fact that in the New Testament, that he will never leave you, that you have him right there and he is, and that you are continually with him, should cause you to draw near and say, okay, Lord, I am really sorry about this, but I don't intend to do this again. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to gaze at you. I'm going to magnify you. I'm going to love you. I'm going to have fellowship with you. I'm going to pray to you. I'm going to walk with you. I mean, just magnify God. And minimize the view of that sin after he has shown it to you from his perspective so that you can get the thing cleaned up so you don't ever go back to it again. Listen, he goes on to say in verse 24, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel. Listen, he's your guide. In other words, get into this Bible and let him guide you to the passages of Scripture that are going to point you about your departure from the sin and your drawing near to the Lord. And then he says in verse 24 of Psalm 73, and afterward receive me to glory. And that's where you're going. At the rapture, God is going to receive you into glory. So start your direction that way. Turn your mind that way. So draw near to God, even when you've been foolish, even when you feel like God is distant from you. And then draw near to God, listen, even when your heart fails you. Look what Asaph said in Psalm 73, verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth. You see that? My flesh and my heart faileth. You know what? It's easy for our hearts to condemn us. The Lord even has Scripture in here to show us what to do in those cases. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 19. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Now watch it. 1 John chapter 3, verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. So when your heart's not condemning you, you do have confidence toward God. But if your heart condemns you, you have to remember something. God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. So when you feel like your heart has condemned you, draw near to God. You see, from time to time, I hear from people who believe they have lost their salvation or that God is done with them. Now there's nothing else for them to do. They're stuck and shelved forever. Well, you know something? Rather than fret by condemning yourself, draw near to God. You say, well, what good will that do? He'll strengthen your heart. In verse 26, he says, my flesh and my heart faileth. Okay, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. He will strengthen your heart. Do you understand? God is long-suffering. He doesn't like us to depart from Him. He doesn't like us to sin. He hates sin. But He understands that we are flesh and blood, and He is long-suffering. Listen, are you still breathing? You know you are. You wouldn't be listening to this broadcast if you weren't breathing, okay? You're still breathing. You're still functioning. That's an indication that God, in His long-suffering, has not just taken you out of this earth because of what you've been doing. He's forbearing. Listen, if God were to just, in the full force of His wrath for any sin that we've committed after we've been saved, I wouldn't be broadcasting right now. You wouldn't be listening right now. It's just as simple as that. But His forbearance says, I'm going to withhold judgment there. I'm going to withhold my wrath there, all because of what Jesus Christ did for us at Calvary. He's long-suffering. He's forbearing. Listen, He's merciful. He doesn't want your heart condemning you. You are His child. His desire is for you to rejoice in your salvation, and He is merciful to that end. Therefore, come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's merciful. And you know something else? He's faithful. He shows you a lot of evidence in this Bible that those attributes you just heard me speak concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, He is going to exercise on your behalf if you'll draw near to Him. Now look, when you draw near to the Lord, even though you've been foolish, even though you feel like God is distant from you, even though your heart fails you, when you draw near to the Lord, you know what you're going to find out? You're going to find out what Asaph found out in verse 25. You know what he found out? He found out this. Whom have I in heaven but thee? He found out there wasn't any other place for him to, no other place to turn. That's what he found out. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Where else can I go with these feelings? Where else can I go with this misery? Where else can I go with this distance? Nobody else will listen to me. Whom have I in heaven but thee? Watch it. And, verse 25, there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. No place to turn in heaven, no place else to turn in the earth. Do you see that? There is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. I'm going to tell you something. When you draw near to God and you let Him guide you, which is what He said He would do by His counsel in verse 24, when you turn near to Him and you let Him guide you by His counsel, you know what's going to happen? You are going to find in time that there is none in earth that you desire beside God. He becomes the desire of your heart. I'm telling you, what happens is you abound in love for God. And the more you draw near to Him, the more you love Him, and pretty soon, you know what happens? Your desire for Him is so high that whatever it was in your lust that was drawing you away from Him, you lose that desire. I'll grant you, that's something that takes time. He has to guide you in that. But I'll tell you, you're not getting anywhere by letting your heart condemn you. You're not getting anywhere by just repeating over and over again, I feel like God is so distant from me. You're not getting anywhere by wallowing in your foolishness. But you'll get somewhere if you'll draw near to God, and you will find Him to be your greatest desire in heaven and in earth. And then I'll say this. It's what Asaph said. Draw near to God even when your friends don't. Draw near to God even when your friends don't. Look at verse 27 of Psalm 73. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. You see, Asaph was envious at the wicked in the first part of this psalm because it seemed to him that they were better off than God's people. And he describes all that. You can read it for yourself. But he changed his attitude when he considered their end. He says in verse 17 of Psalm 73, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then understood I their end." When he saw that, he was like, "Oh, wait a minute, they're not better off. Why? Because all they that are far from thee perish. God destroys all them that go a-whoring from him." And so when Asaph realized that they would perish, he was like, "Oh, well, they don't have it better off than I do at all." Now, you know something? You obviously desire to see your friends get saved. I desire to see my friends get saved. But you know what? The reality is, they're not all going to follow the Lord. No, they're not all going to follow you to the Lord. Mm-mm. No. Some of them will, but not all of them. Not generally speaking. So what do you need to do? Hang around with them and keep drinking with them and carousing with them? No. Draw near to God in spite of them. You say, "Well, that won't be any fun." It may not seem like fun at first, but soon you'll find there's none upon earth that I desire beside thee. They'll probably separate you from you because you're not going to run with them. They'll probably say something to you like, "You're just a Jesus freak," or, "Oh, are you going to that church?" Or, "What happened to you? Did you get some Bible now?" They'll say things like, "Oh, I don't need a crutch like that." You know, just derogatory things make you feel bad about drawing near to God. But you know what you're going to find, according to Asaph? You're going to find that God is a better friend than they were. And that drawing near to him was the right thing to do. Because God will treat you better than they ever did. Listen, you have friends like that like to run in sin. If you ever get down and you need help, a lot of them aren't going to be there for you. But God's always there for you. Draw near to God. And then Asaph concludes Psalm 73 with verse 28. He says this, "But it is good for me. It is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all thy works." And you know something? It is good for you to draw near to God. Because when you are near him, you lose your desire for those sins that drew you away from him. You guard and cherish your fellowship with the Lord vigilantly and soberly. Because you find a contentment in Jesus Christ that you never found in anything that you had in this world. I know that to be so. I wouldn't preach it if it weren't. You say, "Well, I'm having a difficult time." Yeah, if you've gotten yourself into a deep pit and you suddenly turn back to the Lord, you'll find the feeling of being dragged back through the weeds that you went down into the pit. Okay, that you feel that. But I'll tell you what, the cleaner you get coming out of that thing, the more you want to draw near to God, the more you want to draw near to God, the more you're going to find he is the greatest friend in the world. And you lose your desire for that pitiful result of the sin you've been involved in. I'll tell you something else he says in verse 28. "I have put my trust in the Lord God." You trust him more. You know why? Because as you draw near to God and you depend upon him more, you find that truly he is faithful and he helps you. Listen, you and I are never going to escape sin completely because we're not sinless. We don't have a glorified body yet. So we got to have God near us at all times to help us in these battles. We've got to be able to yield to the righteousness of Jesus Christ and have the Spirit ready at hand to mortify the deeds of the flesh. And you trust him because you see him come through for you. You cry out to him when he needs to move the devil away from you as you humble yourself to the Lord. And he does it. He does it. You trust Him. You see His provisions. And then, this is all the conclusion of drawing near to God. Asaph says, I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. You know what you start doing? You draw near to God, and you know what happens? You start seeing His works on your behalf. You start seeing His goodness in your life. You start seeing all the wonderful things He is doing in your life. And you know what starts happening? Rather than getting together with the guys or the girls sometime during the week talking about all the sin you've been involved in, now you want to start bragging on God and declaring all of His wonderful works. Why? Because you've drawn near to Him, and now you're seeing all the things that you haven't seen before that He's been doing in your life, and you're like, hallelujah, glory to God. I need to tell you what God's been doing in my life. I just had an opportunity recently to sit down with a lady, and she was describing all the wonderful things that God has been doing in her life, protecting her house and taking care of her children, and it's remarkable, giving her an excellent job and an abundance of work in that job. And I'm thinking, you know, this is exactly what the deal is. She's drawn near to God. You say, well, I don't know, I'm so frustrated over my sin in my life. Listen, quit allowing sin to put that wedge between you and God. You've been foolish, okay, so have I. Acted like a beast, so have I. And you know the solution? Don't beat yourself up over it. Just draw near to God. You feel like God is distant from you. I felt that way. Sin purposely makes you feel that way, so you dive back into the sin. That's obvious. Get back to, and remember, the Lord didn't leave you. He never will. He's continually with you. He's in you. And when your heart wants to condemn you, remember, God knows all things. Don't fret by condemning yourself. Draw near to God. And when your friends don't want to draw near to God, go on with God anyway. He'll give you some good friends down here, and He'll be the best friend you've ever had. I pray today that if you have felt a separation and distance from God in your life, that this message will encourage you to draw near to God. And God bless you when you do. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.